Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator of Servants of the Lord Ministries. Today I want to share with you first the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hitchcock many years ago. And he said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. He said, they've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. He said, I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me because they just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took for you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who really want to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking about being more than a conqueror. Paul referred to some great men of faith here in Hebrews. This is the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 32 to 35. Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Verse 34. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Verse 35. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Our covenant now is based on better promises. And Paul said in Hebrews 8 and verse 6, this is Hebrews 8 and verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is he now the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. You can have a great covenant, but you still have to do your part. You have to hear and obey God. He is faithful. And now you have to be faithful by listening to his voice and doing what he says to be saved. In the book of Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3, we read, this is the book of Isaiah 55, starting in verse 1. Lo, everyone that thirsty, come to the waters, and ye that have no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Joseph Hitchcock says in his book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on spiritual maturity, on page 46, he says, most believers are ignorant of the requirements to become spiritual. They do not know what is available in the spiritual realm. Even if they are exposed to the truth, they do not have the right foundation to receive and walk in it. They continuously fail because they try to build a spiritual building on a natural foundation. In a secular job or in education, those who trained you required you to come to work or class every day. Their job was to prepare you for the future. I'm sure they did not ask your opinion about what you needed to learn. It is exactly the same way with the training and teaching of the Holy Spirit. He will never ask your opinion about his work in you. He knows every detail of how his work ought to be done. He knows the plan. Your job is to attend class, listen to him, and do what he says. God is responsible for your training, pays the fees, sets the curriculum, the daily timetable, the method of teaching, and uses situations and people you might not even expect. You are responsible for getting in the Spirit and turning up for class. Listen, process, and then apply what you've been taught. Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." You will stand before God in the judgment, and many may answer and say something like this: "I did not see any classroom. Or where did you teach me, Lord? I did not hear your voice." Some will accuse God of being the problem for the lack of maturity in their lives because they did not have any formalized training. Isaiah chapter 55, 10 and 11 says this: "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it." What evidence do you have that you are following him? Do not deceive yourself. Maturity does not come from reading many books. It comes by following the Master's voice, denying yourself daily, and taking up your cross. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." God's school always starts with conviction through the word. You have to be faithful in processing this conviction. Repent, and you'll be given ears to hear more. If you just want knowledge to feed your mind, you'll remain a baby the rest of your life. The standard in God's classroom is 100%, and you must be willing to do his perfect will and not make excuses. Jesus said, Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father which is in heaven." If you're not doing his perfect will now, then there is a chance that you could be left behind when he comes. He does not give you 20 lessons in how to hear his voice so that you can trust him using your mind. You have to make a decision now with your heart to trust him. Joseph Hitchcock says in the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, on page 111. He says, trust is a decision from the heart. It is not an emotional or mental choice. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The scripture says, if you are still leaning to your own understanding, then you are not trusting God with all your heart. Who else are you going to trust with all your heart? Is it not the Lord? The psalmist says in Psalm 20 and verses 6, 7, and 8, I'm reading. This is Psalm 20, verse 6. "Now know I that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." Verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Verse 8. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. The Lord will always deliver those he anoints. But you have to be obedient to the will of God and his calling on your life. The Holy Spirit will be on you all the time because you are anointed when you're doing what he says. Jesus said in Luke 4 and 18, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. These better promises we receive from Jesus are based on the divine nature, not just a written code following rules. We now have a direct link to the mind of God through the Holy Spirit to help us please God and do his perfect will. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, this is verse 3 and 4. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. The word virtue in Strong's is number 703. But it comes from another word meaning manliness or excellence, or to bring praise. We are called to bring glory to him and excellence. We do not need to go back to the flesh. John 15 and verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall be my disciples. So there is no excuse for a lack of excellence in every area of life. But there are reasons. And this is why we need to come into the light. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word marvelous in Strong's is number 2298. And it's from another word which by implication is meaning wonderful. When you come into his marvelous light, you'll be convicted, but you'll also get so many answers. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It is possible by the Spirit to live godly lives for a higher standard of holiness than the law ever required. You can learn to hear and obey, but you have to be willing to learn from your mistakes too. We read in the Gospels, in John chapter 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We have been given grace and truth to help us overcome. Some want God to do everything in his power, and God will always do this if it's part of his perfect will, because his purposes will stand, and God will not fail in doing what he wants. But he cannot keep delivering you if you ignore the truth. Paul said in 2 Timothy, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm starting in verse 19, and I'm reading from 19 to 22. Listen carefully. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knows them that are his. And everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with them call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul was given grace, but he did not get puffed up in his mind. He said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. You have to use the measure of faith. Make no excuses for the truth. He reveals. And become doers of the word. This is not for lazy Christians. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. This was not Paul boasting. He used what he had. He was given a lot of revelation to help the church. And even today, his writings are a blessing to the whole body of Christ. Paul was not living a comfortable life. Instead, he was denying himself daily. He ended up in prison for the gospel. In Romans 8 and verse 34, I'm reading Romans chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 34 to 36. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The victory requires you to be in him up to the last day. Paul says here in Hebrews 3 and 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. When you are abiding in him, then you are already humble. You must humble yourself to make him Lord and enter through the narrow way. Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, I'm reading from his epistle, 1 Peter 5. Starting in verse 5, I'm reading to verse 7. He says, likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. If you do not stay humble, you will lose the grace. And that is the basis of our victory. With grace, you can do anything. It is the mighty hand of God that will get the victory. There is a time to be humbled, and there is a time in between as well before he can exalt you. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 1 to 8. Remember, there's a time and a place for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up which is planted. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Verse 4, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Verse 8, and a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. The time before he exalts you depends on you. If you have let him dig out the foundations in you first, when that work is complete, he will exalt you. The deeper he goes now in your foundations, the taller the building will be at the end of the day, when the work of Jesus Christ is complete in you. Do not let the devil or anyone else hinder you from getting to the root of sin. The victory in Christ depends on removing anything that offends a holy God. Philippians 2 and 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In the revised edition of the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock, in the chapter on how to be exalted of God, on page 105 to 106, he writes this, many years ago, God gave me the following illustration to explain his due season. God compared it to someone offering to build up a beautiful mansion free of charge, with the only stipulation being that you release your will to the building contractor without resistance. In other words, the mansion would only be built as long as you let the contractor be in charge. The completion of your mansion would require the total destruction of everything you have built. If a shack was built on your land, the fruit of your labor, the first thing the contractor would do is tear it down. A bulldozer would then begin digging a deep, wide hole so that a proper foundation could be laid. It is at either of these first two stages that most people refuse to trust the contractor and therefore stop the construction. When the foundation is being dug, it appears that you are going down instead of going up. Remember, the key is to trust the contractor. A mansion cannot be built on top of a shack or on level ground. You have to go down before you can go up. If you stay out of the contractor's way and do not interfere with his work, the going down will eventually end and your mansion will be built. Our foundation is built upon Jesus Christ and is made up of two parts. Number one, Jesus being your first love. Number two, Jesus being functional Lord of your life. The foundation has to be in place for us to live in victory. This is not just a certificate, but is necessary for you to be an overcomer. And this has to be tested. The foundation has to be in place for us to live in victory. People are going to see the results of this foundation in you. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The only way to shine for Jesus in this world is to walk in the light. God will put you on a candlestick if you're ready. Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 33, "No man, when he has lit the candle, putteth him in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that which they may come may see the light." But there is a warning to make sure this foundation is solid. And Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except you repent." That foundation can also be widened and deepened, ready for the storm when it comes. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. This is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24. I'm reading, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and does them, I will liken unto him and to a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26, "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Verse 27, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Matthew 7 says that those who built upon the foundation are like the wise builders. There is a process of digging and construction before you get the victory. And when this is going on, there is no condemnation. The sand is based on just human wisdom and your own lordship. Paul also says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm starting in verse 1. I'm reading 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 3. And Paul says this, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Verse 3, "That thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You have to be a soldier first if you're going to learn how to fight and get the victory. Have you been trained by someone on the narrow way, or just been to Bible college? Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Every soldier has to go through basic training. But not everyone is a soldier on the front line. But there's a war going on between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, even now. So everyone does need to go through basic training. The devil seems to be advancing, yet we know that since the day of Pentecost, the kingdom of God is here now. So we are all on the front lines, whether we like it or not. If you are not aware of this battle going on, then you are sleeping. Wake up before time runs out. Paul says in Ephesians, this is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, it is his mighty hand that wins the battle, not you in the flesh. The victory is when you learn to abide in him." Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm reading verse 11 to 13. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand here in Strong's is number 2476. And this is a prolonged form of a primary word of the same meaning. It's used in certain tenses to stand, used in various applications, literally or figuratively. It means to abide, appoint, bring, continue, covenant, establish, hold on, be present, and stand. Standing is also abiding, according to Paul. If you are in the flesh, you are not standing. You are defeated. The devil can only win by tempting you off the narrow way. We do not win by taking the initiative to do anything. We read in the book of Exodus, chapter 14 and verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The narrow way means you must enter and strive or struggle to come to a place where you can do no work of your own or initiate anything and reach a state of rest. Ceasing from your own labors is necessary to be more than a conqueror. Otherwise, you'll be playing chess with the devil, and only Jesus knows how to defeat the devil. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10, for he that is entered into the rest, he also has ceased from his own labors, as God did from his. Paul is teaching that you can win or become a castaway. If there's a chance of victory, there's also a possibility of defeat. But you win if you learn how to fight first. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 23 and 24, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Joseph Hedgecock describes how to have the right attitude to winning on page 3 in the book Light, in the chapter called Do We Win or Not? He said, if you truly believe that God is faithful and that you are a winner because you're in his kingdom, you won't need a backup plan in the flesh to ensure that you don't end up suffering loss. Take a moment right now to ask yourself the questions listed below. The answers will reveal what you truly believe about God and his trustworthiness. Number one, do you feel overpowered by your flesh and circumstances in everyday life? Number two, are you fearful that the devil could hinder or destroy you? Number three, do you confess that you want to overcome your flesh and obey the Lord, but find yourself defeated instead? Do the things of the world influence your life more than what God says? Number five, do you make excuses for your continual failures? Number six, is something other than Jesus the first priority in your life? Verse seven, are you seeking after selfish agendas just in case God doesn't do what you hope he will do? Paul says at the end of his life, when he was still in prison, this is in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. Paul made it to the finishing line by faith in what God told him to do, and he did not use his reasoning. It was not a physical fight, but by listening and obeying God. You need to use the gift of eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Eternal life is knowing Jesus personally. We say the battle belongs to the Lord. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 it says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Winning is about who you know, not what you know. If you end up trying to fight or defend yourself, then you will lose. This is what the devil wants. You are no match for the devil on your own. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, 14 and 15, says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Paul is explaining how Jesus got the victory. Jesus did not listen to his flesh, but was able to get the victory even though he suffered. Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 37, he says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The word conqueror is number 5245. It means to vanquish beyond. That is to gain a decisive victory, more than a conqueror. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror in all things? You might imagine getting the victory from hearing the Lord and doing what he said. But what about your mistakes? Can you still have the victory then? If you're in Christ and stay in him and love him, you will not let sin rule you. You love him and you will confess your sin and get back in his presence immediately. The mind should not be anxious. When you go slowly, you will not miss his perfect will either. In the early days when I was sometimes anxious during visa applications and crossing many borders in Africa, the pressure was there in my life to reveal where my faith was misplaced in something else and not in God. Man says there is no God. But if you're also getting anxious, it is because you believe a lie that God in heaven is not in complete control. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus paid the price for us to be able to get back in his presence immediately if we come out. John said in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Through the forgiveness of sins, I end up sitting on his lap in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2 and 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You should love God and love repentance. Through the grace of God, I can repent as soon as I realize my sin. Even making a few mistakes is not a problem with God. If I repent as a result of a mistake, then the devil lost because I removed another axis of his life through good repentance. This is being more than a conqueror because I keep winning even through my mistakes. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. You can only win if you hate the flesh, and keep repenting and deny yourself daily. Jesus needs to be your first love. The devil is here now on this earth, and Jesus said it like this in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have that life more abundantly. Jesus came to give you a possibility of life. The devil wants you to think God will take away life and happiness. But it is the devil who will steal everything if you are comfortable here now in this world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." You cannot take anything with you, but you can send it on ahead. Now is the time to invest in the kingdom by learning to hear his voice and do the perfect will of God by faith. Spend time and money learning to kill the flesh by obeying the Spirit. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, "Therefore, my brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." Verse 13, "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, you will mortify the deeds of the body, and you shall live." Let us make a comparison here of armies, of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There are several levels in any army. The highest levels are the ones with the strategy of warfare. The soldiers in the field are the ones implementing those directions and taking orders. The first level in the spirit is divine authority. On our side, we have God. But there are three personalities, and they are all divine. We have Jesus, who became like us and was tempted like us. We have the Holy Spirit as a teacher and a comforter. We have the Father, who is pure and holy. We have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. The devil has nothing at this level that is divine because he is not divine. The devil is outnumbered 3-0. The second level in the spirit is the archangels. And the devil was an archangel called Lucifer. There was 3. And we still have Michael and Gabriel on our side after the fall. We read in the Gospels in Luke 1 and verse 19, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings." Also we read in the book of Jude, and he wrote in Luke 1 and verse 9, and it says here, "Yet Michael and the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." The devil is outnumbered 2-1 at the second level of authority. The archangels are like high-ranking generals in the kingdom of heaven and passing out orders to regular angels below them. 1/3 of all the angels left heaven and followed the devil. We read this in Revelation 12 and verse 4. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." So for every demonic spirit here on this earth, there are at least 2 regular angels as well. In the revised edition of the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock, in the chapter on a good soldier, he writes, on pages 35 and 36, "The spiritual realm is composed of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and these two kingdoms have been at war since the time Satan chose to rebel against God and was removed from heaven. It is important to know how each kingdom operates and also to learn how to abide in God's kingdom so that we can actively participate in the battle against Satan. Let's look at Satan's kingdom and his army. Satan is the commander-in-chief of the kingdom of darkness. Directly under his control are the fallen angels who believed his lies when he rose up in rebellion against God. In addition, his kingdom includes demonic spirits who do his work, as well as people who serve him. The increasing evil in this world shows that Satan has an effective army. His works are evident in unbelievers, and unfortunately, he has power in the lives of believers as well. In contrast, the kingdom of light has a superior commander-in-chief. The Father is the commander of this kingdom. Directly under his command are Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the angels, and those who are part of God's kingdom. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he possesses all the resources of the universe. His troops and equipment are infinitely more powerful than Satan's. The question then is, why is Satan able to defeat believers with his weaker army when they are children of God? Christians as a whole seem to be walking in defeat. Evil seems to be accelerating in the church as well as the world. We read about some saints who will be overcome during the period that the Bible calls the tribulation. These saints include those left behind after the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. During the tribulation, they will need to hear the Lord or be killed. Revelation 13 and verse 7 says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Just looking at the other levels in the war that's going on now. The third level is angels, and these are like generals. The fourth level is in the human realm and could be specially trained soldiers. The fifth level is in the human realm again and would be basic soldiers of Jesus Christ. And the sixth level is the civilian realm. I recommend you read the whole chapter in the book Light. And again, Joseph continued by saying on page 36, "Military leaders throughout history have studied tactics of warfare. All successful conquerors have used the same basic tactics to defeat their enemies. Satan uses similar methods in the spiritual realm against believers. He uses three main tactics to defeat us. If he successfully uses these tactics in our lives, we will live in spiritual defeat. Satan's first objective is to try to destroy our communication with our commander, even though God's kingdom is far superior to the devil's. Those of us who are part of his kingdom cannot function in victory if we don't have communication with our commander-in-chief. God is the expert on spiritual warfare and how to defeat Satan." The book of Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The devil is actually a coward. He did not go to Adam. He approached Eve in the Garden of Eden. The devil will always question God's commands, as he did in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3 and 4, and it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." The serpent came to Eve because she was weak and easily tempted by the things that she could see and process things in her mind. In Genesis 3:6 we read, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Thinking is dangerous. Natural discernment will not save you. And Peter says here, in 1 Peter 5 and 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil cannot devour everyone, but picks on people who are weak and do not know how to fight. When demons manifest in humans, they like to move around, throwing themselves violently to attract attention. People see this and they are afraid, and baby Christians go back to the flesh instead of asking God what to do. John said in 1 John 2 and verse 12 to 14, he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Verse 13, and I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. God will give a young believer the grace to overcome, but you also need to grow up and learn to be an overcomer or a father in the faith. Whatever God allows in his perfect will can be overcome by trusting him. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God can make a way where there is no way. Joseph Hitchcock had faith for whatever challenge he would face. If it was a small hurdle, he would step over it by faith in the way God directed. If it was a mountain, he believed God would fly him in a personal jet or a helicopter if necessary. This is how faith works when you hear from him. In 1 John 5 and 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The carnal Christian will avoid the difficulties and take the easy way for the sake of the flesh. And that does not require faith to overcome. However, when you take over the Lordship, then you will fall into temptation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 9 to 13. This is Jesus teaching. He said in verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, he said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Finally, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Romans 8 and verse 37, in the Amplified Bible, it says, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Joseph Hitchcock would say, I have more fun when everything's going wrong than most people have when everything is going right. Joseph Hitchcock also says in his book Light on page 38, it is true that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. This is from Matthew 16:18. God promises in his word that Satan will not win the war, but he is winning some of the battles against God's people. Most believers are hiding inside their churches as they wait for Jesus to return, hoping they don't get overcome. As such, they are no real threat to Satan because they never make the effort to overcome him. They are trapped in prisons he has built in their lives, and they often do not even realize they are living in continual defeat. Details about spiritual prisons can be found in the book Guilted Prison. anyone who's going to win has to be good at their basics. Then you are ready for anything because he prepares you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 25 and 26, and every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Only one person is the winner, and you have to realize that second place is losing. You need victory over the devil and the flesh to win. So if you have learned how to defeat them, you have done your basics well. Winning means you know when to fight and what to hit because you hear him. The word temperate in Strong's is number 1467. As in the middle voice from another word, it means to exercise self-restraint in diet. It means to contain yourself, to be temperate. You have to monitor all areas of diet and any activities of the body so that the flesh does not get a foothold again. Avoid excesses. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 5, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You have freedom. But that is a freedom from sin, not to do whatever you want. Otherwise, you will never be a disciple of Jesus and learn to do the things when the Holy Spirit says. Paul says in Galatians 5 and 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. You cannot listen to your body and let your body control you. It's important that the Lord is the one who stays in control through the Holy Spirit. The direction for your life must come from the commander who knows the end from the beginning. If you can deny your flesh now and subdue it, then you can also help others overcome their flesh too. You can deny yourself and not listen to your own opinions because it is the Lord through you that gives the victory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not beating the air if you're led by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, Manifest the Sons of God, on page 9, he says, according to Acts 1:8, we have been given the power to be what God has called us to be, which are the manifest the sons of God, with all the great and wonderful promises that God has given and everything that he has provided. You only have one question to answer. What is hindering you from becoming a manifested son of God? It is the process of finding those hindrances and eliminating them one by one that makes it possible to become a manifested son of God. Joseph Hedgecott would say to me that he had faith that if God delivered me into something, then he would get me out. God is not judging us, but we need to learn how to fight spiritually and grow up. You cannot stay a baby forever. You need to learn. Paul warned us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. in the flesh, you are blind and can easily fall into a trap of the devil. You must immediately confess your sins and get back in his presence and start sowing to the Spirit of God if you want deliverance. You will only hear repent, repent, until you stop sowing to the flesh using your mind. The kingdom of God has a boundary like strong winds of a hurricane that everyone needs to pass through. But in the center of God's will is perfect peace. This is a peace that passes all understanding. Paul says in Romans 14 and 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is not a peace like the world can give. It's not an absence of turmoil either. It is perfect peace based on doing God's perfect will with his anointing on you as a result. Being in the rest is like living in the eye of a hurricane. Around you are high winds swirling. But as long as you stay in the center or eye of the hurricane, there is perfect calm. The yoke is easy and the burden is light. When you're in the center of his will, you must empty yourself and do only the works that Jesus has assigned to you. Isaiah 46 and 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God always starts at the end, not the beginning. He knows what you shall be if you kill and overcome the flesh. He will give you a new name based on the victories and things he planned for you to overcome. Your new name, based on those victories, will be written on a white stone. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. This name on that white stone, only you and him will know. If you are an overcomer, you have to overcome the devil and the flesh and live in holiness. On the last day, when you receive the white stone, your new name will perfectly describe your new personality in Christ. My mother named me Keith, which means strong one. And according to some sources, the angel of the Lord also spoke to Gideon in this way. In Judges 6, 11 and 12. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, and then pertained to Joash the Abrazite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. This name was based on what God had called him to be. Gideon was just a farmer, and he also had to overcome fear. In Judges chapter 7, 10 and 11, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host. In verse 11 it says, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. And when he went down with Purah his servant unto outside of the armed men, they that were in the host. Trying to understand the things of God with your natural mind is carnal. You will keep sinning and never come to maturity. Paul experienced defeat using his mind trying to understand the things of God. In Romans 7, 13 and 14, he says this, was that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The renewed mind is what we need. You can receive revelation when you are humble and accept God's calling by faith and make no excuses. You start seeking to find the reasons why you cannot be what God has ordained for you if you are humble. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This is one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Verse 14, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Ask God what he wants you to be and start pressing towards the mark. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.' Verse 38, 'And this is the first and great commandment.' Verse 39, 'And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' Verse 40, 'On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets.'" Jesus condensed the law and the prophets down to just two verses on love. Most people cannot see how love is the fulfillment of the law. Most start at the beginning and try to be good without God's help and keep part of the law rather than focusing on the end result. You will never win that way. God, on the other hand, can see the end from the beginning. So you can also be changed by the Spirit if you follow Jesus, deny yourself and take up your cross. Otherwise, you'll end up helping God and delay him. Paul said in Romans 8 and 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Only when you make Jesus Lord can you really fulfill God's plan in your life and benefit from the Word of God. The end of your road is the cross on this earth. Beyond that is eternal glory. Do you believe this? If you do not believe this, what do you believe? Are you really following Jesus or some false teaching? Do you believe that God has to make everything comfortable and nice with no suffering or hardship? If you cannot take up your cross, then you will not be a winner. Even love is not possible using human effort. But God's love is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. And when God is building, he starts with the finished event and goes back in time to the beginning and puts into place whatever is necessary to ensure that his will is done. He is the master builder. Going slower means you can get the job done quicker with the Lord. When you go slow with God and listen and obey every step, you will arrive there faster because he knows the way. He can get you there in the shortest possible time without you missing any crucial lessons. He knows the right time. When something is open, the right person is there who can help. And when there's no hindrances to getting the job done that is needed, you can experience all of this many times. Because he sees the end from the beginning and we don't. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble." You can also be a builder by the Spirit if you follow Jesus, deny yourself and take up your cross. You must seek Him and make Him Lord. Don't seek blessings. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2 says this. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You need instant obedience to the Spirit, because otherwise you can miss God's timing. Using your minds, you will never please God. By grace, because of your ignorance, something else may happen instead that He wanted. This is also a victory. However, if this happens, it shows that your foundation is weak, because you use your mind trying to understand the purpose of God. But He also lets you see by grace something else that He wanted to show you. This happened to Peter after the Holy Spirit came in great power in Cornelius' house. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Joseph Hitchcock says, What we think we know hinders us from knowing what we need to know now. Being more than a conqueror is winning before you start. You will always win if Jesus is your Lord, and He is actually making the decisions. It's just a matter of time. But if you've taken over the Lordship, you will lose. Many are letting the world control them through fear or the love of money. If you are clinging to this world, then you need to be set free and learn how to cling to Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Some started serving money, hoping that they could be free, but found that they slipped deeper into the issues they were planning to escape. This is the essence of the flesh, deceiving you. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 24, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The good news is that Jesus is able to set you free with the truth and good repentance, doing it His way. There may be a long list of things to turn from in repentance by confessing your sin. But you need to be sure repentance is done right at the beginning to save on the consequences later. Root repentance from sin means establishing His Lordship and not going back again to your old ways. We are more than conquerors through Christ, but in the flesh nothing of eternal value will take place. John said this about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 12, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. At the beginning, you may have repeated a prayer, but did you believe on His name? Which means you believed on His authority and right to be Lord of your life. And you also chose to represent Him and not yourself. The Amplified Bible says this in John 1 and 12, But as many as did receive and welcome Him, He gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on His name. The word received in Strong's is number 2983. It's a prolonged form of a primary verb, which is used only as an alternate in certain tenses to take in very many applications, literally, figuratively, probably objectively, to get hold of. The gospel is saying you must welcome Him as Lord and cling to His authority. through his word, to become a son of God. We can only hold on to him because he is holding us. And Paul said this in Philippians 3 and 12, not as though I had already attained either or already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The word apprehended is number 2638. Coming from other words, it means to take eagerly, that is to seize, possess, etc. Literally or figuratively, apprehend, attain, come upon, comprehend, find, obtain, perceive. Christ got hold of you. And the source of all sin is you being in control of what you do every day. Repent of making all the decisions in your life and admit that you do not know what you are doing and how it will affect eternity. Let God take over and learn to hear his voice and obey him. Peter said in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You cannot save by just deciding to have him as your savior. Salvation comes by accepting his authority over your life, trusting him to raise you up on the last day. Only if he's Lord of your life can he save you. If you are Lord of your own life, you are trying to be saved by works. And no one is saved by doing works. If you want to hear, if you want to get to know, if you want to follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to understand your salvation, make a fresh start, get off that broad road and get on the narrow way with daily and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. It will explain how you can set up a notebook for the things God is showing you personally every day. You need to make sure that you get on and stay on that narrow way. The broad road leads to destruction. It looks good. It's signposted. Heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. And I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. You've been listening to this message and you know the Spirit is touching your heart. You know that you should be more than conquerors through Christ. Instead of believing on his name, believing on his authority, you have put your faith in yourself. You put your faith in your own ability to save yourself in many situations. And even now he's calling you to repent, to turn, to make him Lord. He can do it all for you. You need to let go and let God. My prayer for you is right now that you will let go and let God. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I know this message is for somebody special, somebody you have called. And if they will accept that calling, that you have called them to be victorious, you have called them to live a life in that whirlwind, it's not comfortable, but it's in your presence. And you have called them out of that comfortable life into your place of comfort. And Father, I pray for that person that right now, to accept that calling, to decide to be more than conquerors through Christ, in Jesus' precious name. If you've enjoyed this message today, I believe you can get in touch with us. Our details will follow this. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Have a great day.